the property manager and the asset manager probably gonna be the most important people in your deal after you buy the property. And that's the most important part, right? Because if you think about that, it's 3 to 5 to 7 years that they're gonna be in charge of this property and the business plan.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome back to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. We are here today with Dr. Harry Nima-Zagara, and we've been discussing different avenues to help doctors learn about investing in commercial real estate. This is not a solo sport. It's something we do together. So let's dive back in and talk a little bit more about some of the different resources that are available to doctors. Because this has been something that I see with a lot of docs when they find paid services like this, they get very nervous about masterminds and such. And I think it goes back to the day after I graduated from medical school, I got the first call from some stockbroker in Miami who was like, oh, you're a doctor now. I want to sign you up. Little did they know that I was broke. You had a bunch of debt and you were getting a job as a resident, basically making minimum wage. So, but there was this, like somebody trying to sell you something right off. And so I think docs get nervous about that. Have you had other doctors ask you about the mastermind and be like, we're doing now? How did you get involved in this? What did you think of that? And what do you tell them? Do you find that they're nervous about the idea of spending money for this learning?
No, absolutely. And it's a big investment. So these masterminds are very expensive. And even for high-paid professionals or physicians, it's a big amount of money. So one of the things is that I always say to people is like, I'm very transparent about this. If you want to start in real estate and don't necessarily want to pay for a mastermind, you absolutely can do it. It's just another route. You maybe need to spend a little bit more time and effort to educate yourself and to network and to find the right people, but you can do it. Doing a mastermind is just a way to maybe accelerate a little bit more things and also to get access to this network of people who are already doing these deals or these projects. But it's not like a magic thing. And this is important for anyone who wants to get into commercial real estate or who wants to join a mastermind. It is not that you're going to join the mastermind and automatically you're going to do everything and everyone is going to come to you. You still need to do your part. You still need to do a lot of work. You need to be out there and be of service and doing things with other people. They are not going to come to you. So just have that in mind, because so many people like pay for a mastermind and they think, oh, I mean, I'm going to have like a deal tomorrow or the next week or in 2 months, I'm going to be successful. And then like after a year, they're disappointed. They need to think about that. I mean, like they're paying for the access and faster education and direct specialized education, but they still need to do their part. Absolutely. And it takes time and effort, but yeah.
Well, it's an interesting thing because in the mastermind I'm in that you see the people doing things. And the people with the experience see who's putting the work in. And so if you're out there and you're doing your part and you're doing the work, people have more confidence in you. And they're like, hey, this guy's working at it. I want to work with him, or I want my team. Where the person who shows up and never says anything or just kind of expects things is not going to get the same response from the other people in the group. So that's great.
And it shows when you join a mastermind, it doesn't mean that you know already everything. Actually, that's why you're there. So again, like don't be scared or don't have like the imposter syndrome. Like, oh, I mean, I feel less than other people that have been here for a longer time. You're there for a reason, to contribute to them and to add value. So you're going to get there.
And there were a couple of girls who joined our mastermind this year and they came at it. They were like, we want to replace our income. Maybe it is the doctor income. I don't know. They're not doctors, but so I don't know how much they're making, but they were like, we want to replace our income in 1 year. And they were
aggressive
from the start, man. They were talking to bankers and brokers and they were hammering deals and bringing deals to the group. And you're like, okay, they're not
their
messing
business
around. It was kind of inspiring. Like, wow, I'm kind of a lazy slug here. I'm not working very hard compared to them.
Yeah.
People are jumping on board. They're like, I'm going to help them succeed because they're all in. And so it's an interesting thing, like you said, that you kind of get out of it what you put into it.
Yeah. And that's very exciting to see that other people are doing that. And then energizes you too. It's like, oh, I mean, they are doing that. I mean, let's do that together and let's get to work.
Yeah. So you joined the mastermind. That's really your first syndication. You were a general partner and a limited partner in the same deal.
Yes. And actually, that's part of our NEMA Equity or company's idea. So we invest in every single deal or project that we go with our investors. I mean, like any general partner. So we want to show that we have also skin in the game. We want to show that we have the best intentions. So for the project to go well, to return to our investors. So yeah, we invest that too.
What was your role in this first deal? Were you working, bringing money and kind of introducing the deal to other docs?
Yes. So as you know, in syndications, unless you have like a special designation, you need to do a couple of things, not just to bring capital like to the project. So we actually, it was a couple of weeks after we joined the mastermind. And again, like we have been educating ourselves for more than 6 months by that time. So we heard about this project in Kansas City now. So we jumped in there and we went with other partners and we went for the due diligence over there. So we were there for 2 days and we were inspecting every single unit and doing like an audit of the financials of the property and all of that. And then we put that together. I mean, of course, we were involved in the process of capital raising too. And after that, we're involved in weekly calls with the asset management team.
Okay. So that made a difference, your time with your single family homes and when you were managing it. So this was your first big apartment complex. How big was this first one?
Was a 158 unit Class C property. Yes. Yeah, a little bit of a difference from a single family home or a duplex, right?
How was that experience as you jumped in that first time? Was it overwhelming or were you kind of working with people that you're like, okay, I've got experience on my side. I've got my job. I need to do my part.
Yes. By that time, I was already educated about how these teams work in getting together for these kind of deals. Even though it was my first one, even though you feel overwhelmed, like initially for the number of units, for all the process and the packet of the underwriting with so many variables. I mean, I was feeling comfortable because I knew the people in the team already. And I knew that each one of us have a different role in order to make this successful. So even though I'm part of the asset management calls, there's someone who has the specific designation to that as a duty. He is like a person who I usually say this to other people, the asset manager in the deal needs to be someone who is in real estate as a professional and also who is doing this as a full-time occupation. Because like in my case, it wouldn't be possible, right? Like I'm doing medicine and other things. So yeah.
So did you find a property manager in Kansas City or was it big enough that it's self-run from within, that you have a management team on site?
Yes. So in this kind of process, in this kind of big process or projects, when you have over 80 units, over 100 units, you have what is called like the economies of scale. And because of that, you're able to pay a third-party professional property management company to do all the work for you. I mean, you still need to have an asset manager, like the person who oversees the work of the property management company. But it's way easier because you are directing that company to do this or to do that. And with this size of properties, they are able to put someone on site every day so they can handle all the day-to-day problems.
Usually this program talking more about non-multifamily, but we think this is good because we're digging into this great part for people who are new to the whole thing.
Yes.
So the property manager often is doing a bit more than just lease up and collecting bills, like directing maintenance. And sometimes they're even doing some of the construction work for if you're upgrading. So tell me a little bit more about when you found this property manager, was it somebody that your group already had done business with, or was there a process of finding the property manager?
Yes. And that's a very important part in the process of these deals, because the property manager and the asset manager are probably going to be the most important people in your deal after you buy the property. And that's the most important part, right? Like, because if you think about that, 3 to 5 to 7 years that they're going to be in charge of this property and the business plan. I mean, as a group, we had another property that was very close by, right? Was 10 or 15 minutes away from this property. And that property had been greatly managed. So we hired like the same PM company. But just as a reference, so when we do underwriting, we usually ask for the projections and the assumptions to a third-party company, which are usually like the property management companies. And just to be on the safe side, we usually use 2 or 3 PM companies. So we have different ideas, and we try to find like a balance or an average of what the projections are. And when you select one of them, is because you have worked with them before, or you feel comfort, or you know that they are professional, or you know that they are deep like in the area and they have other assets in the area, so which helps a lot too. So the company we hired was already in the area, was already managing one of our properties of the mastermind of the group. So we were very confident about that. And that's very important because, again, they just don't do just the collection of the rent, but they also do any problem or that we have to do a small repair or big repair even. So we do that through them.
Okay. So somebody who is part of your general partnership, this was your first big deal, but somebody else was already in a deal that had worked with them.
Yes.
Okay. So at this point, I don't know if they've gone full cycle on this. So then once this goes, so this group is running everything for you pretty much in the day-to-day operations.
Yes. So the property management company is like the one who's running the day-to-day operations, the ones that are on site, the ones who direct also the construction or CapEx company that does the renovations. And they are the ones who meet with us every single week to go over the business plan and to go over what has happened the week before.
Okay. And so within your group, there's one person who's the asset manager. They're the primary contact with the property manager.
Exactly.
But your entire GP group meets every week.
Yeah.
To discuss the property.
Yeah. I mean, of course, we try not to interrupt the discussions because it's a very high yield conversation of half an hour to 1 hour. But then after that, if there's any questions, we communicate between each other, which is the way that we communicate.
Okay. So when you have that call, the primary asset manager is the person who's having most of the conversation.
Exactly.
And everybody's listening unless there's something very specific. So it's more of just an update type meeting.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, with goods and bads, with highs and lows. Yeah. And for anyone, like, and being honest and transparent, who has been in commercial real estate, the last 10 years of commercial real estate were great, were the golden years of real estate. The last 2 years, we have had some headwinds, like in terms of the interest rates and also the use of bridge loans, and also how inflation has affected some expenses like insurance, like taxes, like labor. And also like with the same fact that like in the last year, the rents have not gone up as crazy high as in the last 3 prior years. So yeah, I mean, there are always ups and downs and challenges. But again, we try to stick with our business plan. We try to do the most important part, which is the asset management and the property management.
So you live in kind of the heart of, during the whole, especially apartment, multifamily boom, everything was about Dallas, Fort Worth, or Atlanta, or Florida, I don't know, maybe Southeast, and Dallas was where it was happening. So how does a group from Dallas end up buying a place in Kansas City?
Yeah, yes. So one of the things is that's why we have these big teams. And that's why for single family homes, you can do that too. But I prefer to be very close to my properties for single family homes, because I'm the one who directly talks with the property manager. And if there's something important, I go there and I can be there in 15 minutes or half an hour at most. For commercial real estate, first that you have the property management company that is on site. So that's your filter. And the second is that we usually try our asset manager to live close to the property. Like our team, or at least the general partners who close on that property, we were about 7 people, right? So one of them is the one who lives closer to that area and can be there very fast, actually. So we try to leverage our team and to find a property where one of us is closer to that area.
Okay. So out of your mastermind, everybody's not in the Dallas area.
No, we're group. all over the
okay.
US.
All right. So let's just jump on. So when you started doing this and you're doing some of the capital raising with docs, what are some of the most common concerns you get from doctors when they're looking for the first time at real estate? Because most haven't done it.
Yes, yes. So one of the things to have the trust that you're doing something and you're putting all your effort in doing this project. So for many people, the term syndication is something new, right? And for any of us, I mean, actually, it was something new for me 4 years ago. So, and one of the things that I know and I understand is people usually used to do or used to invest in things that they are familiar with, and they feel comfortable with. And that's why when you hear about like a syndication in real estate, many people don't feel comfortable and they don't know what is that about. And because of that, they have certain concerns, right? So that's why a lot depends on education. So they don't understand how this process works, how the business plan is taken care of. And one of the things I ask them, like, again, as we talked at the beginning, to be in sync with their partners or spouses about this big investment, actually, like an investment that is going to stay for 5 to 7 years. And the second thing is that I usually give them a couple of things just to think about before they invest. So for example, like the investment is not liquid. If you're going to invest in a syndication, just think about that the investment is going to be there for 5 to 7 years. So again, like if you have something to pay in the next year, or if you expect to buy a car or a house or something like that, it's maybe better to think about if you have enough funds for that in the future. The second thing is that it's expensive. I mean, it's not a small investment. Still, like for physicians like you or myself, the $50,000 or $75,000 or even more than some of these indications or projects you need to bring to the table is a big amount of money, right? The other thing that I usually tell them is that this is a passive investment. So for good or for bad, it's a passive investment where, again, they are not going to do the day-to-day work. They don't need to take decisions. But at the same time, they are not going to be taking decisions. So there are many doctors or professionals who were very or like to be involved, like, oh, I want to know what's going on here. And what about if we do this or this? No, I mean, that's not going to happen because you actually want a team of professionals to be managing this property.
We'll get back to our show in a minute. But first, I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. So what's the longest time it's taken from a doc, from the first time they were introduced to the concept till when they finally invested? Have you had any that it was a multi-year process of warming up to the whole thing?
What they usually say, I mean, it usually takes at least 7 points of contact to someone to trust you and also like to be educated in the field. So, I mean, like in my case, I think it has been like 9 months to a year from when I met someone and there were a couple of communications and then he saw me in different, I guess, podcasts or events or emails. We also have our newsletter and we also do educational videos every week. So until they decided to join us.
What do you find is the main reason that doctors decide they want to start looking at real estate syndications in your experience?
So one of the reasons is they want to invest outside Wall Street, even though we know stocks and bonds, we know mutual funds, all of that. If you think about, you don't necessarily understand how that works, right? Like, and how the market can go up and down very quickly with just one phone call or one tip of one of these guys in Wall Street. So that's one of the things, that the lack of transparency that is like in stocks and bonds and mutual funds. The other thing is that they want to diversify. I mean, I'm always a proponent of diversification, right? Like not to put all your eggs in just one basket. I'm very transparent about that, like in the sense that I always tell people real estate is a great investment, but it's another way to invest. You can put some in stocks and mutual funds. You can do some like development, energy, ATMs, and even like real estate. And they like the idea.
Okay. And that's one of the great things, like you talked about, the volatility of the stock market And asset prices in real estate can be volatile, but during that time that the money's locked up, like you said, it's not liquid, that 5 to 7 years, if the property's being well managed and it was underwritten conservatively enough that you're looking at it and you're like, okay, so we've had inflation, we've had all this stuff, but you're in a great market in Kansas City and everybody's still paying their rent. If you don't have to sell right then, it still turns off money just like it did your actual day-to-day. The yep. interest rates go from 3% to 7%, but what it does every day doesn't change. And if you got some things built in that you can see, yes, your expenses can go up, but then sometimes rent can go up too. But it's a nice thing in a way to know that it doesn't fluctuate as fast as one bad earnings report from a company, and all of yes. a sudden there goes 20% of your value.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I always make this comment, right? Like, the good or bad thing about being an illiquid investment is when the stocks go up or down or when they dive, right? Many times we tend to make emotional decisions, and that's not the best thing to do. In real estate, even in syndications, right? Your money is locked in. So if the market changes, and also you being a passive investor, you are not exposed to that. So you are leaving that to the professional who's doing that management.
Yeah. And it's kind of nice that you can't wake up at 3 a.m. and go sell your portfolio. So,
yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So you sleep at 3 a.m. instead of waking up worrying about what just happened.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so, hasn't happened to me. And knock on wood.
It's just one of those things, like you hear something like you didn't even want to hear it. It starts churning in your mind and you're like, oh no, should I be getting out of this investment? Is it time to sell my stocks or whatever? And it can be a tough thing for some people to not want to, as you said, react emotionally at the wrong time rather than sticking with the plan. And if you make a nice choice when you're a well-educated decision, when you're investing, part of the great thing about being a passive investor is you commit it to a five-year plan. And then when that money comes out, when the syndication sells the building or sells the property and it comes full cycle, that doesn't happen all at once. That's a process of it being sold, and you get that money back when it comes back. And you're probably already doing this process of educating on where you're going to put it next. There's less of this push that you go to eat lunch in the doctor's lounge and CNBC is on and they're talking about something chaotic happening in the world that makes you wonder, am I going to be able to retire? So
exactly. Yeah. That's too much stress. Yes.
So for docs who come to you for the first time and they're like, Harry, what is this that you're doing with this real estate? And what's the most important thing they should know if they're considering this for the first time?
Yes, yes. So something important for my wife and I is that we always want people to educate themselves before they invest in any of our projects, our deals, like because we want them to know really good what they're going into, right? Like, I mean, it's a great investment, it's a great vehicle, but we want them to understand the process. So again, like they don't have any regrets or concerns at the end. The second thing is that we also want to build trust with them. Like we have a business plan, we believe like we do a good underwriting with our partners. However, life happens, right? Like, and things can go great or bad, but at the end of the day, we are in the same team. We try to go to the same goal. So even if there's a problem, we try to address as a general partner, but also thinking more in our limited partners or in our investors and try the best thing for them. And the last thing is there are so many ways to invest in real estate. And on that part, I'm very honest like with them. There are so many ways and there are so many sponsors like myself. You have options there. I mean, if you're passionate, if you think you have time, try to do it yourself, maybe. You can start with a single family home as myself and try to work from there. But if you prefer not to be involved or you don't have time or you're in your career or with your family that you feel is not like the perfect timing, I mean, the syndications on our company, other doctors like ours, like us, are good options too.
Have there ever been a time where somebody came to you and you decide and you told them, you're like, I don't think this is the right thing for you right now?
Yes, a couple of times. I mean, actually, there was one person who told me, hey, yeah, I mean, like, I'm very interested in investing, but I think I don't have enough money in this moment. I think I'm going to get a loan for that. I said, like, no, don't do that, please. I wouldn't be sleeping well at night on that. And the second time was when someone was asking many times about, yes, but I'm going to get like the 7% every year, like on this timing and on this timing. And it's going to be like a sure thing that we're going to get the return on investment or something like that. And I said, like, yes, but again, it's an investment. And that's the definition of investment. You are not lending me money. If you lend someone money, absolutely, you're going to have the exact amount of money and the exact date, and you're not going to miss that. But in business, it can go better, it can go worse, it can go the same, right? Like, so something like that person needed a little bit more education on investments.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about, as we're getting close to the end. So you guys use a YouTube channel for your investor relations, for education. Tell me a bit more about the YouTube channel.
Yeah, yes, thank you. Yeah, so we started this channel about 2 years ago, initially as part of the syndication business, but it has grown a little bit more than that, in the sense that, as you probably have experienced with other doctors, many of us still like a lot of financial education. So we try to implement that in our channel too. And many of us, I mean, also need also probably a little bit words of encouragement too, right? Like along the way, because our jobs are difficult and demanding and stressful sometimes. So we try to combine these things now, and what started like as a commercial real estate education, it has gone to single family homes, also to finance, and also like to mindset. So yeah, it's something that we really enjoy, that we are very passionate about that. Like, I think it serves a, like a purpose and also like a service to other people that want to listen to that.
So it's got a bit more of a full scale financial education, not just an investor portal.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
So where would somebody find you on YouTube?
Yes, yes. The channel has the name of our company. It's NIMA Equity. NIMA is N as in Nancy, I-M-A, Equity, and in YouTube, and you're going to find us there.
All right. And so you have a new ebook?
Yes, yes. So we actually have that ebook that is coming very soon. So we have our, and probably by the time we release this interview, I mean, it's going to be there out there. So, I mean, it's just like a general guide about how to invest in commercial real estate, the advantages of that, and also some definitions, because like not everyone can invest in real estate in these kind of projects. And it's important always to know the definitions between an accredited investor and a sophisticated investor. So yeah.
And that's great, because that's good. One of those things I think is, if somebody's new to this, and it can be overwhelming, and some docs, because they're busy, because I've seen this, will start into the education and then just stop. They get overwhelmed and they're like, yeah, I was going to do that, but I couldn't understand it. And it's not that much, because I remember when I started and people are talking about, you got the capital stack and a waterfall and a passive investor and a syndicator.
That's too many definitions.
And there's all these definitions. Exactly. But it's a little bit of time on a regular basis, and all of a sudden it all comes together. And if anybody is a doctor, we've memorized enough stuff that it's sure. Not that hard. I think Joe Fairless tells the story about, he made a bunch of flashcards. And so when he was in his advertising job and riding the train to work in New York City, he would go through his flashcards until he understood all the terms.
That's
and they
awesome.
Made sense. There's lots of different ways to do it. I think I took Joe Fairless's book and I just listened to it over and over again until I knew the next line of the book coming before it was even there. And then I was like, okay, I think I understand this now, this whole crazy process.
Yeah.
So, but that's great. That you got that ebook out there, because it gives people a chance. And I would tell anybody who's thinking about this, if it feels overwhelming, it's not really that much. And with a little bit of regular effort, it'll come together and it'll make sense. And I think it can be more overwhelming as a doc, just because most of us didn't take finance classes in college. And so all the terms are crazy. And it's almost like back to first year of medical school. I guess it was probably different for you. When I started medical school, I'd been out of college for a few years. And so it was like back to the dictionary, like every book, like read a line, look up three words, read a line, look up three words. It's that yes. Same thing, but with some effort, it will all come together for you. We'll put all your social media links in the show notes. So we got your Facebook community, LinkedIn, YouTube, and your web channel. NEMAEquity.com. Anything else you would like our listeners to know before we wrap it up today?
No, absolutely. Michael, thank you so much again for having me on your show. I really had a great time. So, happy to continue this conversation in the future too, and to continue in contact.
Awesome. Thank you. It's been great having you here. Thank you for coming on and sharing with our guests and for sharing with our listeners. And for all our listeners out there, you have your information there if you want to get in touch with Harry. Harry, thank you for being here. Our listeners, thank you for joining us on Surgeon Syndicate, and we look forward to seeing you the next time. We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course, and this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.